Well, thank you. Well, thank you very much. All right, Ephesians chapter number 1, if you will. As you're getting there, we're going to look here in verse 18 and talk about the inheritance of the saints. Just let me real quick remind, Dad did a little promotion last night, and you know, the stuff in the back, and we have our Bible conference at the end of October, so come spend Halloween weekend with us. We'll have stuff coming up on the website. Our website's easy to remember. It's buttonow.org. So if you just think about the button now, put a dot and an org behind it. One of my children, their teacher has got his name, and it's like, I don't know the teacher's name. I should, but I can't remember it right now. But it was like rick.jordan@cox.net. She thought the dot, Rick dot Jordan, she thought the dot was his middle name. So that is the brightness of my dad's grandchildren. So, and she's not really blonde either. That's the thing. Hey, it's a running joke in our house. So, but anyway, so if you check out our website, buttonow.org, and we'll have some information up there here soon about the Bible conference in October. But somebody said back there, I think it was Charlie, it's over already, you know, and here we are in the home stretch, which is okay to be. It always goes too fast. But anyway, we'll have a good time studying the Word this morning. Ephesians chapter number 1, verse number 18. We're going to look at what are the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints. And let's begin reading, if you will, in verse 15 and get the verses in our thinking as we begin to now look at this second step here in this issue of what we are to know. Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and a revelation in the knowledge of Him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of His calling, and what the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints. And let's open in a word of prayer this morning, and we'll get started. Dear Father, we thank you for the morning, Lord. We thank you for your word. And as we look at your inheritance in us, that we would do so just rejoicing in the standing that we have in your Son and the future plan that you have for the body of Christ in the heavenly government. We'll just give you the praise and the honor. In your name we pray. Amen. You'll notice that this issue about his inheritance in the saints. And when you always talk about inheritance, if you look back up at verse number 11, in verse 9, having made known unto us the mystery of His will, according to His good pleasure which He hath purposed in Himself. You see how in verse 9 He says, having made known. And then over in verse 18, that you may know. I was talking with a gentleman that said you couldn't know the will of God. Those verses say I can know the will of God. I can know everything He's doing. So understand, and if you ever run across someone that says you can't know something, over in chapter 3, in the second prayer, in verse 18, he says, may be able to comprehend with all the saints. Comprehension and knowledge. You can know this stuff, folks. You don't have to worry about, ooh, did I miss something? It's all here and you can know it all. But if you look back in chapter 1, verse number 10, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times He might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in Him, in whom also we have obtained and what? An inheritance. Look at verse 14. We talked about this yesterday in the sealing of the Holy Spirit and so forth. Verse 14, which is the earnest of our what? Inheritance. And when you always talk to people about inheritance, you know, everybody's looking for something, you know, and they want something. What do I get out of the deal? And when you talk about an inheritance, what are you talking about? Somebody died and what? Left you something, you know, and most of the time it's always, what did we get when Uncle so-and-so died? Well, or grandpa or mom or dad, what is our benefit from their death? You know, and morbid, isn't it? But that's what it is. And people are always interested in inheritance and in reward. Oh, I get a reward. look over real quick with me about this issue of inheritance and so forth. By the way, in verse 18, it's whose inheritance in verse 18? It's His inheritance where? In the saints. In Isaiah 19, verse number 25, at the end of the verse, He says, Israel is mine inheritance. So there's an inheritance issue going on here with God Almighty, that in the heavenly places, the body of Christ is His inheritance. But then over here in the earthly program, He has an inheritance as well, and it's in Israel. And the two agencies, the two houses that He's building them upon the foundation of the apostles and the prophets and so forth, and He's erecting these two houses. Here in Ephesians, He calls it, in chapter 2, He calls it the household of God. And He's erecting these, and He says, those people that participate in all that, they're my inheritance. They're what I got, what I get. Now let's pray and go eat donuts and coffee, because that's about what it is, okay? Alright? But when you talk about inheritance, and you talk about what He's getting, and what He's gonna, and when I talk about getting, don't get me wrong, I'm not, He's got everything in His Son already. But what's the benefit factor here? We talk about rewards. And people always say rewards in the plural. Go over with me to Colossians chapter 3. I just want you to notice something here real quick before we get into the inheritance. Colossians chapter number 3. In Colossians 3 and verse number 24. Knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the rewards of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ. Did I read that right? How many rewards are in the verse? Just one. It's a singular issue. It's not a plural issue. Over in, you're in Colossians, flip the passage to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. In verse number 19, Paul, we read this verse yesterday. Paul, for what is our hope or joy or crowns of rejoicing? How many crowns? One crown. One reward. Look over with me at 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. See, we have this thinking in our head about we're going to get all of these rewards. Woohoo! And I'm getting more than you, and you're getting more than me, and no, everybody's happy. You know? But it isn't that way when you read and study the Scripture. 1 Corinthians 3, we have verse 10. According to the grace of God which is given unto me, that's Paul, as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereupon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. What are we building on? The foundation, verse 11. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, the foundation. Paul says, I am the due time testifier. And I'm laying the foundation, and you're building a house on this foundation. And he goes down, and in verse 12, he talks about the if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest for the day. And that day here is the judgment seat of Christ. That meeting in the air we talked about yesterday shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide with which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a what? How many rewards? One reward. One inheritance. By the way, verse 15, if any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss. Loss of what? The reward. But what about the guy? But he himself shall be saved, yet so as before. Even though you're gonna lose some issues here, you're still gonna have your what? Your justification intact. Okay? That's why you can understand the judgment seat of Christ has nothing to do about your justification. It's talking about your walk, what to do. Now come back over to Ephesians. Actually, you know, go to Romans 8. We'll just get on in this. So the question that comes up here in your thinking, and just know, you're not getting rewards plural. You're not getting crowns plural. You know, you have to have an antler head like a moose to hold all the crowns. No, it's not that at all. You get one reward. You get one. There's one crown, one reward, one inheritance, and it's all the same person. the Lord Jesus Christ. That's it. This isn't brain surgery. You know, Larry the Cable Guy did a thing, you know, you're laying, or Jeff Foxworthy, one of them, the guy, you're laying out on the table, the thing you don't want to hear before you pass out in brain surgery is the doctor say, what? Let's get in there and root around a little bit and see what we can find. No, we don't want, this isn't brain surgery. There's a simplicity in Christ. 2 Corinthians 11 over there, you're talking about Eve being beguiled by Satan from the simplicity that's in Christ. And this stuff isn't hard. We make it hard. We try to strive and we try to work and what can we do? No, it's a simplicity. So then guess what? So is His inheritance in the saints. How do we obtain an inheritance? If we can understand how we obtain our inheritance, because we obviously we obtain it in Ephesians 1:11 and 14, then we can understand how He has an inheritance in us. Look at Romans 8. Now when we come to Romans 8, we've been through Romans 1 through 5. Okay? Right? Last time I was in school, 5 was before 8 in the counting. Now, when you come into Romans 8, you're not talking about your justification. You're not talking about how you got saved. We've been through that. In whom you also trusted. After that, you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. And then you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. So we're down the road a little bit. We've come through chapter 6, where you understand that your old man has been crucified and you're freed from the bondage of serving sin and you've been set free to be the servant of righteousness. 7, 8, you know what? You're not under the law anymore in 7. You're free. You're a dead man walking, but you're free. Now you come into 8 and you begin to see in chapter 8 the work of the Spirit. And the work of the Spirit coming in and making you alive unto God. You're dead to sins and trespasses. All that stuff is past. Your old man has been crucified. Now you're alive unto God. And watch what He does with you in Romans 8 verse 14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. You gotta love verse 14. Dad was talking last night about people wanting power. What does that verse say? As many as are what? Led by who? By the Spirit. Not you leading the Spirit, but the Spirit doing what? Leading you. How does the Spirit work today? He whispers in my ear. This morning when He whispered in my ear, it was, roll over, dummy, it's time to get up. No, He doesn't lead that way. How does the Spirit work today? In the Word. So if I'm going to be led by the Spirit of God, what do I need to be doing? In the Word. And He'll trigger some activity internally in me. For as ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, what? We cry, Abba Father. Who's the only other person in Scripture that's ever cried Abba Father before? Christ. You and I, today as members of the body of Christ, we are so totally identified with the Lord Jesus Christ that we have the privilege to cry, Abba Father. We can cry the phrase that indicates a mature son in the family of God. And we can say, Abba Father, and we can do it and not go, well, should I or shouldn't I? No, we get it. Why? How can we cry such? How can we say such? Well, look at the next verse. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit. Well, there's that indwelling again, isn't it? That we are the children of God. And if children, then what? Oh, heirs. You know what? I just misspelled that, didn't I? Okay. I wasn't good at spelling. Okay. We are what of God? We're an heir of God. But you know what? It gets better, doesn't it? Being an heir of God is tremendous, folks. You know, an heir gets what? He gets an inheritance, doesn't he? When someone passes away in your family, this will never happen in my family. And there's a check, you know, there's a will. What is the family looking for? Well, how much is my check? Why? Because I'm an heir. But also, what are we in the verse? Joint heirs with who? Joint heirs with who? Now, what is it to be a joint heir? We get an equal share, don't we? But who do we get an equal share with? Jesus Christ! So, you know, we're joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with Him, that we may be also glorified together. We're the children of God. We're these heirs. We're this joint heirs. Now, how do you become a child of God? Go back up in the passage. By faith, right? In the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, in whom you also trusted after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. You become a child of God. You become an heir of God. You become a joint heir. You get an inheritance. There's something that you're going to get an inheritance. But you know what? Our standing isn't as little children. In the verse there when he talks about that we are the children of God. A child is a, you know, you think about children, they're offspring. They're born. That's talking about regeneration, folks. You're made what? Alive. You're a son. Because then in verse 16 or 17, what does he say? And if children, then heirs. Back up in the passage, verse 14, we're the sons of God. We have we're able to cry, Abba Father. We have an inheritance. We have an heir, one who is entitled to possess something and to get something. And a joint heir, we have a joint heir. We have a joint inheritance with another. Equally, we get something. Now, we're an heir of God and we're a joint heir of Jesus Christ, of Christ. Look over with me just real quick at Galatians 4. Galatians chapter 4. Sometimes having notes can get you off track a little bit. Galatians chapter 4, verse number 1. Now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, differ nothing from a servant, though he be Lord of all, but is under tutors and governors until the time appointed of the Father. Even so we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world. Notice the past tense of all of that. There's past tense stuff going on there. But when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the what? The adoptions of sons. And because ye are, notice the present tense, the sons of God. I'm sorry, how's to read the comma? And because ye are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son in your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Wherefore thou art no more a servant, but a what? A son. And if a son, then an heir of God. How? Through who? We're an heir of God because of our position and our standing in who? Christ. And a joint heirship issue here now comes into play. We obtain an inheritance when we get saved. When all those spiritual blessings come into play, one of the parts of that is our inheritance. And then there's an inheritance because we're an heir of God, but we're a joint heir of Jesus Christ. And what? Go back to Ephesians 1. What did God give Jesus Christ? What did He give Him? Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter number 1, verse number 10. Verse number 9, having made known unto us the mystery of His will, here's the Father's will, according to His good pleasure, which He hath purposed in Himself, that in the dispensation of the times He might gather together in one all things in who? In Christ, both which are where? In heaven and which are on earth. Even what? In Him. So what did God the Father give God the Son? All things, whether they're in heaven and in earth. Now, we know Israel's the earth, so we're not talking about them. We're talking about you and I. Okay? Everybody? Mm-hmm. No? Okay. We have bobble dolls at home. Okay? Now I got a headache. What about the heavens? What are the all things? We've been looking at it all week. the governmental structure of the universe. What does he tell Jesus Christ? Son, I'm going to give you the control over the government of the heaven. Look down at verse 20, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in heavenly places, far above all principalities and powers and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world to come, but also in that which is to come, and hath put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over what? To who? Notice it doesn't say he's the head of the church in that verse. That's over in Colossians. He says that. But he's the head over what? All the things, all of this structure out here, to who? Who's the church? We are. What is our inheritance then? If we're an heir of God and a joint heir with Christ, what is our inheritance? All things. Okay? You follow that? See, you thought you were getting something rich, didn't you? But you are. You're getting the riches of the praise of His glory. You're getting the riches of His grace. Let's pray and go home. I'm excited. I got to go. And I don't run aisles or any of that either. Look over with me at Titus chapter 3. You're there. Titus chapter number 3. Look, watch something else here that you get. Titus chapter number 3, verse number 7. That being justified by His grace, we should be made what? Heirs, but according to what? To the hope of eternal life. Life eternal. In the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. We were talking yesterday about when people die, where do they go? Well, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. You're in His presence. Man, can you imagine what it is to be in eternity in His presence? In the new body? Working? Doing what needs to be done? Getting that government going up and running and just doing what He needs done? And doing it with a happy heart. Not this, oh man, I got to get up again. No, doing it with excitement and happiness. But what we also inherit, this eternal life. Look back over with me at Galatians. You're in Titus. Look back at chapter 1, verse 2. In hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised before the world began. The issue of eternal life. Romans 6, verse 23. For the wages of sin is what? But the gift of God is what? Okay? That's our inheritance, folks. Eternal life. Over there in Galatians 3, look over there at that passage. In Galatians 3, verse 29. And if ye be Christ, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to what? The promise. What's the promise that God gave to Abraham? Eternal life. Well, I thought it was being a nation and all this. Yeah, it was all of that, but there was something up underneath all of that that was the foundational promise. That was eternal life. How can Abraham take Isaac up and attempt to offer him in Genesis 22? What did he know? He's going to bring him back one day, eternal life. What did Isaac know? To willingly, you read Genesis 22, he willingly was bound and laid out there on the altar. Isaac only asked one question one time. Okay, Dad, where's the lamb? Where's the sacrifice? What did Jesus Christ ask in the garden? If it's thine will, what? Let this cup pass. Is there another sacrifice? What was the Father's answer? No. You're it. What was Abraham's answer? Sorry, son, you're it. Okay. And off they go. How can such happen with Isaac and with the Lord Jesus Christ? Eternal life. He knows it. He knew he had inherited it. It's part of our package, if you will. Now go back over with me to Ephesians here. Because we're talking about His inheritance in the saints. What is our inheritance? As heirs and joint heirs of Christ, what do we inherit? The heavenly places. Eternal life in the heavenly places. Chapter 1 here, verse number 12. That we should be the praise of His glory who first trusted in Christ, in whom also ye also trusted after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession under the praise of His glory. Notice that, praise of His glory. That's what we're inheriting. We're inheriting the heavenly places to the praise of His glory. Verse 18, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that we may know what is the hope of His calling and what the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints. We know where we're getting, don't we? The heavenly places, the governmental structure there, eternal life. We understand that. But now what is His inheritance in the saints? But notice how the verse says it. What the riches. You see that? This is no small thing here for Him. The riches of the glory. There's the plan again. The glory. Of His inheritance in the saints. God's inheritance is in the saints. We, the body of Christ, are His inheritance in glory. Now wasn't that simple? Now let's look at a few passages. Go over with me to 2 Thessalonians chapter number 1. Because there's something that's going to happen. You're walking along life's narrow way. The rapture happens. We go to the judgment seat of Christ. He takes us up, presents us to the Father. Okay? 2 Thessalonians chapter number 1. The Father then spends time with us. Meanwhile, down here on the earth, you've got the 70th week of Daniel happening. You've got the second coming. You've got the kingdom established. Then you've got the 1,000-year reign. And then you're going to have the great white throne judgment. And off you go onto that. But while we're up here, and things are going on up here, He's going to take us now and He's going to put us according to the capacity of your inner man, He's going to land you up in the heavenly places. And He's going to say, okay, you're in zone A, you got job A, you got job B, Z. You got job B. Okay, and I'm not trying to make light of it, but that's what He's going to do. But now watch 2 Thessalonians 1, verse number 10. Start back up in verse 8. In flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of the Lord, of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of His power. You know what the penalty of hell is? Everlasting punishment from the what? From the presence of the Lord. That's hell, folks. That's the lake of fire. You know, yes, it's going to be hot. Yes, there's torments. Yes, there's a fire that is not quenched. But the ultimate penalty is from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of His power. Wow. Not participating in the plan. When He shall come to be glorified in, that's you and I, and to be what? Admired. You know what it is to admire something? Yesterday was Valentine's Day, guys. Hopefully you admired your wife, if you're married. Mine kicked me in the ribs and I rolled over. But I admired her. Yes, I know, she's in the back. Her head just popped up. Huh? To be what? Admired, now watch, in all them that, what? Believe. Because our testimony among you was believed in that day. His inheritance in the saints is when we're out here on display, And everybody in the world is looking up there doing what? Admiring you. They look up there and they go, wow. When I say all the people, I'm talking about the angelic host. I'm talking about all of creation. His inheritance in you and I is when He takes us and puts us up on display out there and says, look at what I did. Aren't they beautiful? Admire them. Look over with me at Colossians chapter 3. Man, folks, that's wonderful. And the thing of it is you can know it. You don't have to go, huh? You can know it. Colossians chapter number 3. Verse number 5. When Christ, who is our life, remember yesterday I said everything centers in Christ? Shall what? Shall appear. Then shall ye also appear with Him where? In the plain. In glory. In the heavenly places. We appear with Him. He's our life. We're joint heirs with Him. What is God giving to, what is the Father giving to His Son? The heavenly places, they're yours. Well, if the Father's giving the Son the heavenly places and we're joint heirs with Him, then what do we get? The heavenly places. And He turns around and He says, they're my people. Look at my body. Look at them. They're perfect. They're spotless. They're without blemish. Look, you're in Colossians. Look back at Ephesians. Ephesians chapter number 2. Verse number 7. 2 Thessalonians 1:10, what did you say? Admired. Admired in them. And to be admired in all of them that believe. Ephesians 2 verse 7. That in the ages to come He might what? What? When you put on a show, what happens? They are what? On display. But what is He displaying? The exceeding riches of His grace in His kindness towards who? Us. The heathen, we learned last night in the Q&A from John. He's putting us on display and He says, there's the riches of my grace. Look at them. Look at them sparkle. Look at, boy, aren't they admirable. Man, they're on display. Wow, look at you guys. That's His inheritance in you. That's what He's getting from you. That's what He's inheriting. You follow that? He says, you know what? I got a plan. You know? I used to watch the A-Team with Dad. We always liked it when a plan came together. I got a plan. It starts out over here before the foundations of the world. And it begins to be laid out and it's kept secret and it's hid. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. You go over there to Amos. And Amos, he talks about the creation, and he says, I created the stories in heaven. And that governmental structure being created. And then he says, you know what? Now we're going to go over here, and the earth was without form and void, and now we're going to talk about the earth. And in Israel, he says, they're mine inheritance. He says, there's going to be a seed of the woman, and the woman becomes Abraham's seed, and becomes David's seed, and he becomes the Lord Jesus Christ, and he says, they're mine. By the way, Israel being His inheritance, you know where Israel's, you know where they are, don't you? In Christ as well. In John, He says, I am the true vine. I'm the true nation. And if you're going to be in the true nation, you got to get in Me. That's how Paul can over there in Romans 15 can say there were before Me in Christ. Well, they weren't in Adam, you're in Christ. You're in either one of the two categories. Cross the board. Okay? And Israel becomes part of the little flock, the believing remnant. And they become part of Christ, and they become part of Him. And then as a nation falls and they diminish away and Paul shows up on the scene, then he says, okay, now we're going to do something different. Now we're going to go over here and in, if ye be in Christ, ye are a what? New creature. You're a new species of humanity. And your destiny isn't the earth, it's where? The heavenly places. And we're going to do this and we're going to do that so that in the dispensations of the fullness of time, I can do what? Take over like it's supposed to have been the whole time, and I'm going to use you guys, the body of Christ, in the heavenly places, and I'm going to use Israel, the believing remnant, true Israel, in the earth, and we're going to have a wonderful life together. And all of you are my inheritance. This is what I get because of this issue of the heirship and the joint heirship. Father to the Son, here's the plan. Son goes, okay, cool, we can go do this. Off he goes. And in the end, back to Ephesians 1:18. As we saw last night about what is the hope of His calling. Do you get the feeling in Ephesians where we're always going? To the governmental structure of the heavenly places. And what the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints. Our inheritance in Christ is the same inheritance that God has given Him. God's inheritance is the body of Christ, is the saints, as He begins to use us to occupy. Put us on display. Show the exceeding riches of His grace. As we occupy the governments of the heavenly places according to His purpose, according to His plan. And you know what happens? All so far, it's all to the praise of what? His glory. It's all about Him. Over there in Colossians 1, we've read the passage. Down there in verse 18 and 19, it says that he calls Him the preeminent one. That He may have preeminence. That He would be the focus of everything. His inheritance in the saints, folks, is you and I. It's the body. Put up there in this, on display for the whole of creation to see and to marvel at and to just say, wow. It's not brain surgery. It's wonderful. It's the wisdom of God. And it's something that you and I can know, and it's something that we can rejoice in. Okay? Okay. Let's pray and we'll close, and then I guess we'll have a little bit of time for some fellowship. John's not in. I'm sure I'm quitting 10 minutes early. So he's like, what are you quitting 10 minutes early for? So, but there's stuff, and then we'll get started back up with the music and everything. I think the plan is to get started at 10:45, from what I understood, okay? So let's close in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank You for the morning, Lord. We thank You for allowing us to participate in Your grace and Your riches. And for that participation, Lord, we just simply say thank You for what Your Son did on Calvary. For the world, paying the price and the penalty. For what You then did with Saul on the road to Damascus, showing forth Your mercy and long-suffering to him, and then through him revealing the hidden wisdom that You had kept a secret, and that would allow us to participate in it some 2,000 plus years later. We'll just give You the praise and You the glory in Your Son's name. Amen.